What's up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 32, exclusive interview with Skyline Specs. This guy just absolutely lays down some fire information for you guys. He's doing a lot of common practices really well, such as giveaways, but he's also doing a lot of unique things on Instagram that you'll hear all about. This guy just has a very good understanding for the Instagram algorithm and the app in general, and he really shows it here. So sit back, relax, get ready to take some notes. Enjoy the episode. All right, guys, I am here with Skyline Specs, also known as Scott Ballard, of course. Scott, thanks for being on today. How's it going?
It's going good, Derek. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be honest with you guys. This is round two of us recording. I am in Colorado and it is absolutely blizzarding right now. And we had already started this conversation and got 10 minutes in and then all my power went out. So we are doing this a different means here and we're going to get this going again. It was already some great stuff from Scott. Just a little bit on him. Scott operates Skyline Specs, which is over 14,000 followers. He also operates Life of Chicago, which is at 67,000 followers. And he's got another Minnesota City account that's at about 11,000 right now, too, with some other accounts on the rise. So he certainly is very well versed in Instagram. He's run multiple kinds of different accounts as well and built multiple up from the ground up. So he knows about building your initial following, and he certainly knows about what to do once you're over 10,000 as well. And I got to know him just because Scott reached out to me for the free analysis when we did that a few weeks back, and I started checking out his account, and he had a ton to offer me as well, and I knew it could bring a lot of value to you guys. So I said, hey, I got a few tips for you for your analysis, but I mean, it seems like you got a lot of tips to offer me, and thus I'm sure there's a lot of people who could get a ton of value on it. So wanted to have them on today, stoked about it. But just to get started here, Scott, give us a little bit of a background on Skyline Specs and how that all got started.
Yeah. So Skyline Specs started as a class project. My intro class project sophomore year. I'm a senior entrepreneurship major now at St. Thomas and St. Paul. So basically the project was just create a brand with these small groups, kind of go out and sell, kind of learn the basics of marketing a product, selling a product, kind of just throwing us out there to get some real world business experience right off the bat in our major. So the idea kind of came from I wanted wooden sunglasses for Christmas, and I didn't end up getting those. So I had to kind of look at a different avenue as far as how to implement that product into this project. And then I also noticed the trend of Minnesota clothing becoming really popular. So I thought, how could I apply that idea to cities like Minneapolis, St. Paul, and other major cities? So what we ended up doing was taking our design for these polarized wooden sunglasses and then engraving major cities under the side. So we have Minneapolis, LA, Chicago, all these different places. And then we kind of just got out and sold them for the class project. So that's where we got started.
And I love that class project too, for really getting you the actual experience of selling a product. I know I did so many in high school even where it's just make a business and then present it to the class and then everyone would be like, oh, that's cool, right? But it didn't really have it didn't have the proof behind if it was going to work. It didn't really show you the initial steps or where the money was going to come from. So it's a really cool class project for one, but that your product was actually selling and then you were able to turn it into a business after that because you already got to start on a basically a way less risky playing ground there. So that's awesome. Tell me a little bit about the first prototype that you made.
Yeah. So the very first product or prototype we had was I just went on Amazon and I got a pair of wooden sunglasses, took a pencil and actually like sketched out the Minneapolis skyline onto the side of it and then took a wood burning pen and engraved that. So that was kind of our idea of how we were going to do it for the project. We only had a few months to do this. And we were really pressed for time as far as we didn't know exactly if we would be able to find a wholesaler to get the product, how, if we were going to have someone hand make them. We were kind of like having to figure that out as we went, but ended up going with a wholesaler and then professionally engraving them, which was a lot better than the prototype I made. So that's kind of the direction we took. And we found early on our personal Instagram accounts to be really useful in branding our product and selling it. So we're all posting on our personal feeds, and then people showed interest by commenting on it, liking it. A lot of people would shoot us a message. We'd follow up on there, and then that eventually led to a lot of sales. So that's kind of where we saw early success with Instagram, and eventually kind of channeled that into more of a business account.
Gotcha. And then you started getting these produced on a bigger scale. And were you doing essentially drop shipping, or were you ordering a batch of units and just increasingly ordering bigger and bigger supply?
Yeah, so eventually we kind of took our original designs. Moving into the summer, we released a few new styles, and we had a manufacturer that actually helped us produce them. So it was a higher quality product at a lower cost, which is definitely huge as far as the way we were doing it during the class wasn't very sustainable as far as a business sense. We were getting these wholesale orders and then driving over to this engraving shop. We had to take the product apart, put it back together. So it was just a lot more labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result wasn't as good either. So that's kind of how the development of the product continued. And then getting some like really good product photos and putting them on Instagram and stuff too was where we found traction over that summer after the project.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that too. Once you got started on Instagram, you had to start trying to figure out what kind of content you wanted to put out around the sunglasses. So tell me a little bit about how you got a feel for the theme of your account, if you will, or how you knew what direction you wanted to go with it.
Yeah, so early on, I wasn't even sure if like a business account was the way to go. I mean, now I know obviously that was definitely where we needed to go, but we had success with our personal accounts. I didn't know how much time we wanted to put into it and stuff like that. But originally, the first few months, we didn't have a lot of content of our own, but we'd post pictures of like our sunglasses. Some people, some friends we knew, like wearing them, things like that, events we were doing, and we weren't really getting as much traction as I felt like we could. So I kind of decided to apply more of the lifestyle of our brand. So our why is connecting people to their community, their city, and kind of highlighting what parts of that city or community are meaningful to them. So we started sharing all different pictures from around Minneapolis, St. Paul, because that's kind of where our first product started. And as our product line grew, we started sharing all different cities, started to get the hashtags right, so more people were seeing the product from different places. Here we were getting some custom orders of different cities, so that kind of got the ball rolling without having to spend a lot of money, pretty much doing everything organic. So that's really where more of the lifestyle of our brand started to evolve and was really built on Instagram.
Cool, cool.
Yeah,
so you kind of... You just start, right? And you kind of figure out a little bit more of the content you want to do as you go and how you want to roll with things, just kind of getting some initial data. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we didn't sit down and map out a strategy or anything, but it was kind of just putting stuff out there, moving fast, seeing what was working, what wasn't, and then kind of adjusting our content and how we were selling our product based on that.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So what were some of the other strategies that you used that were just like Instagram specific, the things that everyone can take from to how you built your first 1,000 followers, we'll say?
Yeah. So one was once we started posting every day, we started seeing a lot more traction. So being really consistent in what you're doing, trying to create that community of like-minded people. So a lot of people like really responded to our why of connecting to their city, their community. And they also just thought our story, being students, coming up with this idea combined with a unique product was kind of a compelling offer for them. So That gained a lot of followers and became kind of a word of mouth thing that kept pushing us forward. So really like nailing those things and then making sure to do like the more algorithm-based things, such as getting all our hashtags right, using hashtags on every post, making sure to tag locations, and then finding who was kind of in our niche market of the Twin Cities, connecting with different photographers, featuring each other. Those types of things were what really got us going early on, got us our first couple thousand of followers or so. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really do have to reach out and just figure out who else is in my market here and DM them. And even if you don't have like a collaboration idea or anything like that, just introducing yourself to them and just getting to know a couple of the other influencers in your market really goes a long way in the long run, because they're going to be your collaboration partners. And I know you really have some great collaboration strategies we'll get into in a little bit here. You were also telling me about an app you use to create your hashtags, or at least give you some ideas. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I found two. My favorite one's probably Display Purposes. So this basically takes a location and then you put in a keyword hashtag. So maybe one for us is Minneapolis, and we kind of always relate it to what we're posting about. So if we're posting something about Chicago, we use that keyword. So we're always kind of adjusting our hashtags to whatever content so it fits. But you put that in, it generates the rest of your hashtags, and they're based off of like real-time engagement. So we found it's kind of just a really easy, quick way to generate your hashtags and get them on your posts without putting a ton of time or thinking into it and kind of second guessing yourself. So that's what I really liked about it.
Yeah, I checked it out too because I hadn't heard of it before. I had an app that I was telling you about that it always gave me hashtags that were really general, like beautiful or outfit of the day, photo of the day, and just not the best ones. But I checked it out and it really generated some strong hashtags. And even if you're someone who really knows the hashtags in your market, it's good to at least try that every once in a while and see if you can't get some more ideas from it. Or if you're brand new and starting a new account and you really don't know like any of them, then it's good to leverage apps like that. Remind me again, are there any other tools or apps that you've used off of Instagram to either create content or to do other things such as like hashtag research?
I've used Hootsuite for some scheduling and stuff like that. But I guess one of the other hashtag generators is called Tagify. So that one's pretty good, but I've found that Display Purposes is more specific. But otherwise, we haven't really used any like third-party apps. So,
okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, the auto schedulers too. I know those can help out, especially when you have so many accounts that you're trying to run. You do want to have some of it be more automated. Obviously, it's one thing to say like post every day on all your accounts, but it just doesn't really translate to actual working hours. So, so that's good that you leverage that as well. So that's kind of how you got your first 1,000 or a couple thousand followers, just kind of grinding on Instagram. And then what were some of the things that you did with collaborations and giveaways that you were telling me about once you started getting, you know, towards that like 5,000 follower range?
Yeah, so one thing that we started doing over the summer, once we had a couple thousand followers, that we saw not only like a lot of Instagram with, but generated a ton of website traffic, is we looked around our market, started finding a lot of the major accounts, and then even some of the smaller accounts, and we're just sending, I think at one point I was sending 15, 20 DMs every day, just basically saying like, we're a student startup. We're about connecting people to their city. I noticed you're in Minneapolis, things like that. And then if you would be interested in a pair of our sunglasses, we'd love to send you a pair. And then kind of asking them if they wanted to do a giveaway. So basically they get a product they're interested in. And then also their audience is going to get a free pair for entering their giveaway. So how we would do this is, they would run the giveaway and we wouldn't be posting. So multiple giveaways would be ran at one time. It just kept things really simple, easy for us. And then they would just DM us who the winner was, and we would ship it out. So basically the trade off was two pairs of our sunglasses for a lot of exposure, a lot of awareness, new followers who might eventually convert to sales, but we're not coming across as salesy at the beginning. So that was a really effective strategy as far as using influencers for shout outs and stuff. So we grew a couple thousand doing that. Even one of them we sent, I think we sent one pair of Chicago shades to this influencer that shouted us out on her story, and we gained 1,200 followers in like 30 minutes, which is crazy. But
wow.
Yeah, I think people who like really responded, I think if you're really concise on your story and why you're doing what you're doing, the people that are going to respond to that are going to be like some of your best promoters. So there's some people too, like we don't even ask for a giveaway. If they have 50K plus, we'll just say, you want our product, and like not even ask for them to share or anything like that. But one of them has, I think they have around 70K, and they just really love our sunglasses. So they story post it, they put it in feed posts. And kind of on our end, we're really good about reposting that content. So we not only gain followers from these giveaways, more attention, but we're also getting content to post more consistently. We found a lot of success with that strategy.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably a strategy you'll keep running with for a long time. It's kind of like the other interview I did with Jersey Champs, is just using your product and sending it to influencers who like it. And were you saying that you don't necessarily say, hey, we'll send you our sunglasses, and you do two story posts and three regular posts? You just send it to them and just know they get the gist and they're going to take care of it. Is that right?
Yeah, it will depend on who we're sending it to as well. So, I mean, I think once people are over 100K or something, like we've also done paid posts, but we'll keep in mind that, you know, we're giving them something. They don't really owe us anything for that. You know what I mean? It's more of a gift to them. So unless we explicitly say in our DM, like we want to do a giveaway, it would be really awesome if you could post with these, if you like them, something like that. Then, so it's a little bit of both, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I liked how you were saying it yesterday too, rather than just saying, hey, we'll send you a pair of our sunglasses, and would you mind posting that we have them 20% off right now, or something like that. It's doing a giveaway for it and giving people exposure to the product in a way, in a non-sales way first, like a chance to win it for free, and then you're collecting all these followers in the process. So it gives you another chance to sell to them later in case they see it, it's not a good time to do it. So using the giveaway model is definitely a great way to build your following and give yourself a chance to sell to them multiple times, rather than just, hey, you know, post that I have a sale on my sunglasses and you don't have contact with them again. So you've done that beautifully, the flawless execution on the giveaways there. So people can see exactly how the caption is worded. Is it typically something like, do they have to be following you? Like they go follow you to enter, or how do they enter exactly?
Yeah. So typically one thing I should mention too is, so we really like how this is an organic way to reach people. And then also you can kind of see people's level of interest by who commented on their post entering the contest. So if you want to organically kind of retarget them at the end too, then you can say, hey, thank you so much for entering. I'm sorry you didn't win this time, but check out our future giveaways. And if you're interested in our product now, here's a code for 15% off or something like that. Just like manually going through commenting on those people. So that's another option too. But how do we kind of word that? We only have like this, either they're going to act on this giveaway or not. We don't necessarily have that long to pitch them. So initially we just want to get our why out there, as far as we started this for a class project. They're polarized wooden sunglasses that represent your favorite city and your community. And then if we're doing a giveaway, if you're interested in winning them, step one, follow whoever we're doing the giveaway with us, like this post, comment some friends that would be interested, and then typically we'll do like a bonus where if you share it on your story, you get extra entries or something like that. So that's typically how we run most of them.
Mm-hmm. And you're manually keeping track of who shares it on their story. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a recommended system in place for keeping track of people?
Usually I will just search like the random comment selector if it's just a one account giveaway. I've done giveaways with multiple accounts too, which then it gets a little more confusing. Usually then you pick a winner from each posting account, but I don't know, kind of an easy way to do it is you just manually comment the extra entries for them when you're doing the final selection. So that's typically how I do it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I really like the tip there. And this is something I've done in the past too, and sometimes I forget to do it, is when you do a giveaway for a product, you got your winner, and yeah, you've got those other people that are following you now, but you might as well, now that you have everyone's attention and they're all waiting for the winner, whoever doesn't win, give them a consolation prize of a discount code, because they expressed interest already, right? They're like, I don't want to buy it because I want to see if I win first. And then once they see it, they don't win, then you're like, all right, you got a discount code and you got 5 days to act on it. And you're catching these people when they really want it and they're really expecting to hopefully win it that day. So they can kind of deal with being sad about not winning by, all right, at least I get a discount. So everyone wins. I really like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, and then I know you're doing other forms of giveaways too. Like something that if anyone goes to your account, it's all over the place, because I think you got it on every single post where this is kind of like your engagement hack, if you will, or your hack for getting extra likes and follows that I think people really like.
Yeah.
You have it on your post that it says every like on our post is an entry in our monthly giveaway. Why don't you go ahead and just give us the full details on that system?
Yeah, so kind of just came up. I was just kind of trying to think of ways to get more engagement and engagement on older posts too. So at the end of all of our captions, we just have, like you said, this every post liked is an entry into our monthly giveaway. So it kind of gives people an extra incentive to engage with our content anyways. At the end of each month, we announce that monthly giveaway. We do a random selection of however many posts we had that month, and then do a random selection of the winner from that post. So we'll see a lot, and they have to be following too is one of the rules. So we'll see a lot of our new followers will go through and like, you know, 10 plus posts just because they see that and they want to be entered into our monthly giveaway. So I think it's a nice way to increase engagement and reach more people that way. And I think it also kind of balances out with doing giveaways on other accounts because, you know, only that particular influencer's followers are going to see that they're posting that giveaway. We don't necessarily post a lot from our account. So I think it's a nice way to get people involved and engaging with older posts as well.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this scenario has ever come up, but I know they have to be following you to win. Have you ever selected someone and then it turned out they weren't following you? How did you handle that situation, if so?
Yeah, I mean, typically they have been, but if they aren't, I'll usually just do another random selection.
I didn't know if you would do that, or you'd say like, hey, you won, but you're not following us, so follow us, and you won. Or
maybe I should be doing that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I was just curious because I was like, oh, I wonder how that scenario would play out, but I'm sure it's pretty rare, if anything. But obviously you're getting not only your own following to just make sure they're always liking your posts, which will make sure that they're always getting shown your posts, but it's getting all these random people who don't follow you that just see your posts through other organic reach means to naturally like your posts too. So I just like it because there's another reason to like it. There's probably plenty of people who like your posts just because your content's so good, and don't even see the caption. But if they see the picture and they'll like it and they see the caption, then there's, boom, there's just one other reason to like it. And it just goes a long way. And obviously they got to be following you to even have a chance to win. So, I mean, overall,
yeah,
it just makes so much sense. And I like just kind of going off the rule. Like, if it makes sense, it makes sense. So you really found just looking at Instagram's algorithm and how it works. All right, I need likes and I need followers. How do I set up giveaways to get likes and followers? So
yeah, too, something
awesome
I should add.
There. What's that?
Definitely. I was just going to say something I should add
yeah.
to that I haven't necessarily been great about doing, but I think too, you should, if you're going to do that strategy, incorporate your highlights. A lot of times the winner will story, you know, the shades that they're pretty happy they won, and then they kind of like want to return a little favor to you, so they'll story the shades that they won.
Mm-hmm.
So make a highlight of kind of all the winners from the monthly giveaway, so people just click there, and it says like monthly giveaway winner January, February, March, so they kind of have that social proof of people winning too, and another place to kind of discover the giveaway, but... Yeah,
definitely. I think that's a really, really good tip, because you don't want people thinking you're doing all these giveaways without ever showing proof that it's actually going out. People just have a little bit of natural skepticism about things online or free giveaways or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a really good point to make. The other thing that really impressed me that what you're doing here is – these other accounts that we talked about, Life of Chicago and the Minnesota ones and just these other Twin City accounts, they're not your businesses. Like, they are trying to just get followers over to Skyline Specs. Is that right?
Yeah, so they're kind of two-sided. They're branded very much like Skyline Specs. And then, so all about kind of bringing together this community based on one's Minnesota, one's Chicago, one's Los Angeles, one is strictly Minneapolis. So building that community there, and then Skyline Specs kind of acts as the sponsor of the account. So we're tagged as a curator on the top of the captions for a lot of the posts. Our website's in the bio, our ads in the bio. We run almost weekly or so promotions featuring us on the account. So kind of a sponsorship, and then also the idea is just to grow them separate from Skyline to eventually possibly sell ads to other businesses. So that's how those kind of come into play.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's truly killing two birds with one stone there, because you own these other accounts that are promoting your business, and then you're also making them into one of the more popular ways to monetize an Instagram account that's, you know, a lot of people utilize now, like paid posts. Like, I just want to pay this account $45, $50, or, you know, a couple hundred even to do a post for my account. But then you're turning them into that too. So explain that just a little bit further of how you're doing that with Life of Chicago for people who don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So with Life of Chicago, in the past, people would kind of DM asking for a promotion, a one-off promotion, or something like that. So I did a number of those. I've also DM'd people asking them if they wanted a promotion. And I think it's important when you get to kind of a following where you can sell promotions like that, you're really good about telling people the impressions they should get, the reach, so they can kind of do the math on, okay, if 1 million people see this over the month, then how many can I expect to go to my website? How many do I think will actually buy my product? So being really straightforward with stuff like that. Something new that we're doing starting next month is we found a monthly sponsor for the account. So Skyline will kind of take a little bit of a backseat to this other company that's a monthly sponsor. So we'll be featuring their content weekly, kind of just this continual promotion of them, which I think is a lot more effective than one-off posts. So on the buying side, if you're a business trying to buy shout outs, I would definitely see if you can't work out a deal for a week long promotion or something that's a little more sustained than a one-off post, because it's like, how many of their followers will actually see it, and then they have a chance to act, and then it's gone. So I think it's just a little more, having a little more consistency to introduce their following to your brand is a more effective way to do those types of promotions.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't thought of that before because I've done a lot of just the one-time posts. And, yeah, it only goes so far. But if you set up – and usually the accounts are open to this because I have paid for multiple posts at a time to get a discount, but I haven't, like, done them over a week. But I can see, you know, just as you need to promote things multiple times from your own account, or, you know, the typical phrase is, like, people need to – see an ad 7 times before they act on it, then that's a great way to get a better deal on a bulk amount of posts and have them kind of feature you for a whole week. So what does that look like? Is that they're mentioning you in every caption of every post, or multiple stories?
Yeah, so are you asking what it looks like if I'm doing it on the Chicago account for someone else?
Sure. Yeah. So if you're doing it on your Chicago account for someone else and they want a week-long deal, does that mean that every single post you do over that week, they're getting mentioned in the caption in some way?
I'm going to say it differs between each one. So we kind of like customize the promotion to them, but definitely wouldn't post, like, let's say one of the ones I did was a t-shirt company. I wouldn't post every day in the same t-shirt, different angles or stuff like that. I would start maybe Monday, do our regular content, but tag or have their at the top of the picture we're posting. So kind of getting their name out there, introducing people. And then when I story that post, I would tag, if it's a photographer's photo, I would tag them and then also tag the company as the curator of that post. So during that week, I have that company pick, you know, the lifestyle photos of Chicago that we're sharing. So they're the curator of the account that week. I would comment them on that recent post. And then, so basically it's just, let's say we're posting their actual content on Sunday. We're giving them however many chances to reach my audience beforehand that would just discover them organically, wondering, oh, what's this Chicago company, clicking on it, checking them out. And then come the actual post for the company, people are a little more familiar with them and are more likely to act, whether it's a giveaway, a sale, or something like that. So I think there's no specific or like typical way to do it, other than a lot of companies are kind of just like, my post is $30, I'll say whatever you want. I'm a little more just, I'm not going to post something that I don't think is like in line with our account or our audience. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to kind of preserve that, but that's how we've ran a few of our promotions. So.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're saying too, if they are trying to get you to post content that is not in line with your theme, but they really want to, like, one way that you might make an exception is, yeah, I'll run it for a week and then we'll take it down. Is that right?
Yeah.
You'll delete the post later, you said?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of typically just to keep kind of the whole look of our feed. We do delete the post later. I haven't worked with any companies that aren't strictly related to Chicago on that account yet, but yeah. I'm not completely opposed to it either, so.
Yeah. And that's where you can be like, I can do like a story post for you, because it's just not going to, you know, be there forever on your account and mess with your theme. So that is important. Good mention there that at the end of the day, your brand is more important than just that one client who wants to pay you $30 and, you know, sacrifice your branding and make your following think that they're about to get sold all these products that have nothing to do with the reason why they followed you. So
yeah, definitely
protecting your brand's integrity is the top thing if you're going to sell posts to other people.
Yeah, I think too, on my end, I mean being on the buyer side of promotions with Skyline to the seller side of Life of Chicago, I'll usually, even if they aren't asking for it, I'll usually be like, why don't we do a giveaway instead, just because once again, it's giving our audience something as opposed to asking them to buy something, which I think is just a better way to build an audience like that.
Yeah, you can't really just tell people, like, go buy this nowadays. It's just, the whole world's alert to being sold stuff all the time. So you kind of got to introduce them, let it be a little bit more their idea and more soft sells, especially on social media. It's not like a buy products website to begin with. So it's,
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, got to make sure it blends in with their typical social media feed. So awesome, man. I really love all of your content here, especially the fact that even though like giveaways is not something you invented, you still had to invent the way that your company was going to do giveaways based off of what you had and what other people, like what other accounts you wanted to collaborate with and what you could offer them and what would work for everyone. So you were able to actually make collaborations that were win-win situations, as I always talk about on the show here. And that's really how to actually make collaborations work, is it just works for both of your favors. So of course they want to do it. Your monthly giveaway with the Every Like It Is an Entry is totally original, and then making all these other accounts to just basically funnel into your main business is super innovative as well. And I'm certainly going to be doing a full episode of just recapping these points and going over how I might apply it into my business and how all of you listening can apply it into your own. So really appreciate the value you've provided us with today, Scott.
Thank you.
Before we take off here, I always just like to ask people, we're all entrepreneurs, regardless of what we're doing, regardless of being on Instagram, none of that, with all that aside, what are just some things that you would say to the entrepreneurs out there who are looking to get started, not really sure what they should do, and just some early on advice for them?
I've said it a few times on the podcast already, but really knowing like why you're doing what you're doing, because I think people definitely kind of drown out the repeated what. So, we're not necessarily selling sunglasses. We're selling a connection to your community or your city. So really sticking to your why, and then also just starting as early as possible and just going out and doing it. So I think, it's kind of weird being at the end of my major now, where I've learned like, okay, you want to build this business model canvas, and then you're going to make this business plan. And then you're going to go interview people and do like empathy interviews, and you're doing design thinking and all this stuff. And then you go start your business. But at the first class, they just kind of are like, okay, just go do it and see what happens. And that's kind of the mindset I've kept throughout. So I think starting early is definitely good. Not to underrate all that research-based stuff. I think a combo of the two is great, but don't let it hold you back from actually going out there and just doing it. So those are my two things.
That is well said there. Yeah, it is a combination of the two. You don't want to be too risky with no research, but you don't want to get caught up in the research phase where you're just, paralysis by analysis, as they say, and you're just not really starting. So, yeah, it absolutely. And I love how you started early here, and with low cost investment to test your idea, essentially as well, and it gives you a little bit more confidence to start once you've already seen some interest. So, well put, man. Well, thanks so much, Scott. I think we'll probably have you on again too, because I know you're always innovating things
Awesome,
and
yeah.
finding out new things to do. So, last thing, if people want to get in touch with you, check out Skyline Specs more, or maybe you've even got like a discount code for the audience. If you don't have it ready now, I can get it out to them a different way too. But do you have some final words that you'd like to say of how people could keep in touch with you?
Yeah, check out at Skyline underscore specs. Shoot us a DM if you like the podcast. I'd love to look at your account, and maybe you can offer me advice and I can offer you some. So I think it's pretty awesome. That's how I ended up on the podcast anyway. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely, man. All right, guys. Well, everyone have a great day. And Scott, thanks so much. And I will talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Derek.
So that's the interview for you. Hopefully you got as much as I did out of that.
I will be doing a follow-up episode just like I did for Jersey Champs interview, just because I like to break it down. Let's look at the root psychology of what's going on here and figure out how can we apply this to other businesses, especially, of course, your own business. How can we take these tips? Because maybe you don't have the exact same resources as Skyline Specs right now. Maybe you don't have a product that's at all similar, but we can still take his tips. And if we can understand what is actually going on at the root of it, then we can apply it to our own businesses. So that's what we're going to be doing next time, guys. Thanks for listening to the episode. Have a great day.